some puzzles that you might need to go and assemble at home in the week. Amen. You need to keep on digesting what the Lord gives out to us. We've been busy with, if you're new around here, my name is Werner. It's awesome to be with you all this morning. Vivas by Awaken, can I get the vice? I heard a noise at my home. I live about 2 kilometers away, and I figured it was you guys. Every now and then from our home, we can hear Zuelichle, but Friday night, we heard something else. So, well done. You really lifted the roof. I wanted to put my head through a window here somewhere to find access, but I couldn't find a way in. So I'm sure the Lord made, just did a great work among you all. There's not plan, but just want to also honor Lisa and the team. They really were working hard. And I can assure you, because I was involved in some of those prayer meetings, there was a lot of prayer that went on to the ladies. Now, can we just give the Lord a clap and just thank him for that? We are making our way through the Sermon on the Mount, but almost more specifically, we're stuck in the Lord's Prayer. And if you're an organized person, you like to put things together, you could find the Lord's Prayer from a couple of weeks back and follow it and make a little folder for yourself. It's on YouTube. And gather your links together and go from Our Father, hallowed be your name, all the way to where we'll be this morning. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Or as Luke puts it, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Let me just pray for a moment. Holy Spirit, we just want to thank you for bringing us in as we were worshiping and giving an invitation to each and every one to take a step closer. Thank you for your faithfulness. Now I pray as we break open the word this morning that you will continue your work in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that for some people today might be the U-turn they need in their life. I pray for others that they will be strengthened to continue their walk with you. Some of us, Lord, have started well, but at some stage we became passive on our journey and we just step out of the road to sit under a tree. And this morning, possibly, Lord, you are visiting hearts like you found Elijah and say, it's time to get up and go again. You know what each heart needs this morning. I don't know. Therefore, I consecrate everyone to you, Lord, and pray that you will be at work among us. Amen. Let's read together. You guys are going to know this because we're reading over this passage. We're really digesting it well, but let's read together again. We're reading out of Matthew 6. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. Section is on prayer. We're dealing with prayer from about 6 weeks back and carrying on. It's important that we should have a personal and a private faith. That was a sermon a couple of weeks ago. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Watch out for rhythms of prayer. Watch out for taglines that are repeated, as if the more we repeat it, the more God hears. Watch out for prayer books that tells you, if you feel this, pray this line. And then you, okay, because what are we after? Relationship. Because you've got a Father that knows, right? Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. When I was preaching on this, I emphasized the point that we need to get verse 9 it needs to drop in our hearts in a substantial way for the rest to make sense. And we're going to circle back a little bit to the fact that God is a father, because it shapes and gives a form to the rest of the prayer that's very important. It creates a basis of communication. Some of you remember, you may communicate with someone on the street that's looking for directions. That's quite normal in our town. We've got a lot of travelers. But the access of conversation and what you can ask someone you just met is quite different than what you can ask a close family member or a father. And so it's very interesting that right here Jesus says, pray to your father, right? Because he wants the access in prayer to be very open and very close, like a father would have with a child. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Pastor Andres preached 2 weeks ago. Give us this day our daily bread, Pastor Andres preached last week. So go and revisit that. It's very good sermons. And then this morning, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You see, it's the only line in the Lord's Prayer that gets circled back to is verse 12. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And then in verse 14, Jesus adds an explanation to it. We don't find it for any one of the other lines. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And he continues, and if you forgive others their trespasses, well, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a very hard roadblock to come past. You cannot go around it. This needs to be digested and confronted. These are strong words. And this morning, we won't close the loop on verse 14 and 15. We'll stay at verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And then Luke 14, if we go to that, yes, it just puts it in a different way. Forgive us our sins. Okay, that's the heart of the passage. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us or sinned against us. The problem with the Lord's Prayer, it's got the same handicap as Psalm 23. We've heard it so much that we're like, oh, we're going to listen to this sermon again. I know. So what I want to do is I want to go behind the curtain a bit. And I want to ask deeper questions around this. Why? How? And where will this take us? So please, I really feel that there's some juice that the Lord wants to squeeze out over us. There was a time in the Dark Ages where the Roman Catholic Church basically held the church ransom. It was just before the 1500s over that time. And the lay person couldn't read the Bible. And the church as an organization really controlled people. There was a great sin. There was great fraud. For example, if a loved one died, the people believed if you pay enough money, that person would go to heaven and not hell. And where would they give the money? To the priest. The saying was, when a coin in the coffin clings, a soul from hell springs. All right? How could people believe that? They were taught that by the spiritual leaders that had access to the Bible in a language the leaders could understand, but the people could not understand. So what did the priest do? They took a position between the people and God. There was a man named Martin Luther who started the reformation of the church that brought the life and grace of God's word and his heart for us back to the people. And the church reformation started, and here we are today. We read the Bible in our own language and we experience God's love and grace. Now what Martin Luther did is he took 95 issues that he had with the Catholic Church. He was trained in the language. So he, as a person, almost was an intercessor. He understood the Catholic Church and he understood the people. And he came in between and he nailed his 95 issues or thesis against the door of a church in 1517, okay, which started riots. Okay. Now the first point of the 95 theses of Martin Luther reads as follows. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ willed that the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. Okay. Or one could say, the first thesis was all of life is supposed to be repentance, which is a strong connection to what we read here. But he received a lot of critique for that, and still today, because people would say, Martin, you sound like a doom and gloom preacher. And it also sounds like you are saying Christians never really grow, because if you constantly repent, it must be that you're constantly in sin. What is wrong with you? Aren't you the grace guy? Shouldn't we be more grace focused? But what Martin Luther was not trying to say is that Christians remain infants. What he was saying is we make our progress through repentance. That was his heart, and we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. So I want us to grind the axe. You know I like to do this. For me, this sermon, it feels like it's more like a water point, as it will have like a definite finish, because we're moving along in the scriptures. You grind the axe when there's a lot of frictions. And sometimes in Christianity, when there's two groups of people that see scripture the different ways, and you listen carefully, you actually sharpen the axe and you find the true truth. Okay. Now, when it comes to this idea of constantly asking forgiveness for sin and ongoing continuous repentance, you've got two groups of people that fight over this matter. Two extremes. On the one hand, some argue that since Jesus died for our sins, past, present, and future, which is biblically correct, we need not continually ask for forgiveness. Have you heard that before? Who's heard that? Yes. And they might argue that you are being too legalistic and sin-focused. God's grace is greater than what you are giving it props for. Okay. You are too sin conscious, they might say. On the other hand, you might have a group that believes, you know what, your salvation actually hangs on such a thin and delicate thread. You better repent much more than what you are repenting right now to keep your salvation secure. Otherwise, it might slip out of your hand. And so there would be they would tell the other group, you guys are hyper grace. And those guys would shout back, you are hyper sin focused. How do we sharpen the axe on this? This is very important, because we have to deal with the scripture. Forgive us our debts. And Jesus says, give us our daily bread, which means this is a continual prayer. It's not a once-off prayer. But let's grind the axe. Let's get to it, because this is very important. We find that the kingdom way is what we are after. Now, sometimes we need to get above opinions and find the way of the kingdom. What is the way of the kingdom in this? Follow me here. We were created in God's image. True? Genesis 1. But when sin fell on us through Adam and Eve, what happened to that image? It did not completely leave us. But it became distorted, became broken. And so today you might find someone that's not of faith, and you'll see the destruction in their life, but you'll also find that they've got compassion for someone that needs help. What is that? It's the remainder of God's image in a person. You might find someone that does horrendous things, but then you might find them in tears. What's going on? We have to deal with the image of God that's in all humans, but it is distorted and broken. Okay. Now, when we are born again, okay, when we come to faith, right, what happens to us? Our legal status before God change. Okay. You were a sinner doomed for destruction. But now you are saved by his grace. Okay? You were an orphan, Now you are a son. Who lived and died for that? Jesus. What is granted to you is your status changes. The moment in a response. But now, after that, the image of God is being prepared day by day, week by week, and month by month as you grow as a believer. On the day when you receive forgiveness of sins, you are still a mess. You are just like where you were 2 hours ago. You've not been repaired yet. But as you grow in the Lord, you are being repaired. Are you with me? The one prayer, the forgiveness of sins, I'm coming to faith, changes your status. Okay. Now, I don't mean to throw theological terms on you, but for those who like to be thorough, that is called justification. A judge just stamped your papers. Oof. Guilty, but now forgiven. But now something else happens in your life. And the big term for that is sanctification. The Afrikaans word I actually like more. Heilig maken. Ek is nie heilig nie, maar ek is op 'n reis. Heilig maken. I am changing day by day. That is not a matter of a moment. That is a matter of a journey. Now the question is, which one is Jesus speaking about here? Because that's going to give us the tip of the axe. Is he talking here about people coming to faith, or is he talking about a life the believer is invited to journey in? Is he talking about justification, or is he talking about sanctification? What do you think? Sanctification. You are praying to your Father, which means justification happened. In our sanctification, does repentance continue or not? Yes, because it is the tool by which the image of God is being repaired in us, bit by bit, day by day, and month by month. How does that work? I belong to Him. I am His son. But on my journey, I discover something in me that does not reflect Him well. What do I do with it? Father, forgive me. The way I reacted toward my family 2 hours ago has just revealed to me that there's a part of my life that does not yet reflect who you are as accurately as it should. Will you forgive me for using those words and being so irritated? What I actually want to do is I want to see your image restored in me. What did I just do? Matthew 6, verse 12. And so what we find when people are fighting over doctrines, often because the one group, they're meaning something else. And so it is correct to say, please don't pray. You don't have to pray every day to be saved. Because that's a habit. All right? And that's what the one group means. But on the journey of being put together like a puzzle, repentance and the asking of forgiveness, it's the tool in which we are being repaired. Amen? Make sense? So yes, we do repent and ask for forgiveness as often as we can because we are excited to being assembled and repaired to be more in the image of God. Okay. Jesus is inviting us to be, he wants us to be sold to the process of sanctification. He wants us to be excited to be more and more and more like him. And for that, we need to say, "Oh Lord, I want to thank you that I can really sense that this area in my life you've touched, but this area here, I want you to also repair. So I just want to repent for the way I've thought about this and the way I'm acting. And so this is the way in which we move forward." And so what Martin Luther wrote is actually very incredible. He said, all of life is repentance because all of life is about growing more and more like him. Are you with me this morning? Right. Now, let's play around with this a little bit more. Ooh, die tyd. In our hearts, we've got, I'm making this up, okay? I'm being metaphorical. Humor me. The top parts of our hearts we share freely with people. Hey, hoe gaan met jou? Lekker met jou? Lekker weer? Hoe van dit? We tend to engage off the top of our heart with strangers and friends, but we've got deeper ends of our hearts. It's got to do with this, where even the Bible tells us, don't cast your pearls before swine. In Proverbs, what it means is you don't necessarily take the deep end of your heart and just like throw it around. I mean, imagine you just meet a woman, you're single and she's single, and then you like start like, I've really always longed to meet someone like you. Like that's your first conversation. Like, come on. Because you know, you start with the weather, man. Yes, it is lengthen, and yeah, and there's truth around that. There's some of the matters of the heart that belongs in different conversations and different contexts. Isn't that true? Like, you don't share your sin with strangers just like that, okay? Right? You need to find safe places. Now, I want to argue that the heart, the deep end of the heart's got two parts. The one part is the really deep part. Now, did you know that the deepest part of the ocean is called the Challenger Deep? Eh? It's around 36,000 feet, the Challenger Deep. And then the second deepest part of the ocean in Tonga, it's called the Horizon Deep. I want to use those words for a moment. The top part of your heart you share often, but when it goes deeper, it becomes harder. Now, the second deepest part of your heart often relates not about the weather and your hobbies, but about some of the things in this world that you dream about. These are things that's important to you. It's your heart. It's your calling. It's what you want to achieve. It's what you're leaning toward in this life. And even that, you don't just share with anyone. But it's easier to go to that than the deeper part. We'll get to the deeper part now. But the second deepest part already you'll find, you will share with people that's close to you because it reveals. It's revealing. It's like, it's really my heart to achieve this in my life or to see that happen. And you do that when you go heart to heart. But even deeper than that is your Challenger Deep. This is not your ideals, but this has got to do with the mistakes, the faults, the sins, and the inadequacies you see in your own life. With that, it's very hard to bring out. And the level of trust needs to meet the depth of what you are sharing. And so you'd often find, if some of you are in the healthy habit of sharing your sins and mistakes, you'll find you'll do it with your most trusted friends because they would know how to cover you, not reject you, but yet challenge you. You know what I'm saying? Now, when Jesus is saying, pray this way, forgive us our debt, forgive us our sins, he's asking you to take your Challenger Deep to God. That means he's also inviting you to the deepest of relationships because that's where you share those. It's not a blabbering out of sin. It's the drawing into a deep relationships where you are okay with uncovering what lies deepest in your heart. It starts with our Father in heaven. This is about relationship, not about making a list of sin. But if we can't get past the Our Father part, we'll never get here. Because you don't deal with a far off God or a far off stranger, that which lies deepest in your heart. And you know a mistake we often make? And some of you guys are here, you're visiting church. And some of us need to apologize to you. And a lot of us have been evangelized with people pointing out our sin. If you are here today, that's a grace because it should have been the other way around. We need to be told first of a God that loves and of a Father that cares. which wants to bring us healing of our sins. You see, that's the context. But if this is so hard, and if this is about heart-to-heart stuff and bringing out the deep side of our heart, I just want to answer three things this morning for us. Where do we find the power to open up so deeply? How do we do it? And what is the effect of it? And this is where I want to take us. And I actually mentioned it already. Pray then like this. Start like this. Commence like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You have to understand, you and I, that we find the power to share so deeply in the standing we have before God, our standing as children. If we can go to that next slide. This context is everything. If we don't get, can we go to that next slide? Maybe that'll help. If we don't get this, it's hard to put our hands into our spirits and bring out the deep end of our sin before the Lord. You and I, we are coming to a Father that loves you. That is where we find the power to do it and to open up our hearts. If we came to a judge, that is slide number 10, please. If we come to a judge firstly, or a ruler firstly, we're kind of hiding ourselves. We're kind of hiding sin. But if we come to a Father, we open up on his lap. That's where we find the power to open up. How do we do this? How should we process when we go to the challenger deep and we bring out our mistakes before the Lord? Now, this is a sermon on its own, but I'm gonna put a couple of things ahead of us. Because some of you are sitting here and you're like, "Hierdie pastoor wil ek moet repent." Like, how do you deal with it? Remember the gospel. You do it by baptizing your prayers in the gospel. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Remember, you've got a substitute. And he remains your substitute. So you've become a son, stamped. You've been given a new status. But in your life, Jesus remains your substitute for sin. And so here's what we remember. I am a great sinner, but he is a great savior. And there's this saying, and I always get it wrong. I don't have it in front of me. My sin is always more than what I initially believed, but his grace is a lot more than what I initially perceived. And so what I am doing as I am sitting on the Father's lap and opening up the deep end of my heart, I'm actually learning more about his grace. What is happening is not just me listing sins. It is a relationship that's being fostered here, where deep calls on to deep. The gospel reminds us that deep repentance is an opportunity for deep union. That's how you do it. You remember the gospel. Christ Jesus died for sins. And if you think about coming to him, you cannot ask for forgiveness of sins without interacting with Jesus. What does constant interaction bring? The fostering of a relationship. Right. And the repairing of your heart. And then lastly, and I want to just sit on this for a couple of minutes. What is the effect of the life that embraces this idea of all of life is repentance, where I'm being repaired? It's the starting of a grace cycle. That's what happens. You receive forgiveness of grace from God this morning, 6 o'clock, when you are dealing with the Lord and you're going to the deep side, the challenger side, and you open your heart before the Lord and you experience his love and his nearness to you. Now you walk from that place and you face some very rude and obnoxious people in your life, right? But what happened to you this morning is that you became a fountain of what? Grace. Because that is what you received. Now everyone at work despises this one person for their behaviors and their manners until you arrive. Not with judgment, but with grace. And so we tap into a cycle of grace, and now God's grace reaches a person that everyone rejects. Because a believer this morning came close. Turn that cycle the other way around. I find myself there often. I start my day frustrated, and I end my day frustrated. Okay? And the casualties are all around. And you know what? You know who often gets the worst of us? Our children. And those we love most. Okay? Why is it important daily? Because God wants to put you on the cycle of grace. Because it is by His grace that you have been saved, not of your own works. And other people will not know it unless they taste it through you. We have a responsibility to go to the Challenger Deep and deal with the Lord, that we might receive something to give. Amen. And so I want to finish up this morning, and I want to ask you, are you struggling also with your people relations? You might find that the grace cycle in your life is shut down. It might be that you find yourself in, for you it feels like you're like a magnet that attracts conflict. Go visit the grace cycle. Go ask yourself, am I positioned on the Father's lap in such a way where I receive love and grace, which helps me to be graceful in my ways? But what it also does is, he who is loved by the Father does not need or yearn for love in the streets. Which means if other people do not dance according to your tunes, that's all right. You're not so easily offended, because the grace cycle brings health to your relationships. You're secure. Can you see that? And so I think that the Father is inviting us nearer to Him. And to even go to the Challenger Deep and brings out, you know what? Why it's hard to confess our sins even to God? The moment you say it, you have to acknowledge that it's there. Because there's a part of us that wants to say, no, I'm not really like that. It's that person caused me. But you know what? The moment you say, Lord, will you forgive me for this? There's something there. But I want to invite you, deal with it. Because it'll start such a wealth of grace in your life that your whole world will be impacted. Amen? What I want us to do this morning is that the communion be handed out. It's going to take 5 minutes to reach everyone. And I want to ask you to turn to your friend or your spouse, or if you're introverted at this moment, just look forward and hope no one sees you. And let's digest this together, and maybe ask your friend, like, what is the Lord, like, what is He lifting up to you this morning? And let's talk about it, and then we'll finish with some ministry while we share communion. So take a minute. If you are alone and you see your friend sitting somewhere, you're welcome to get up and go and connect with him. But let's ask that question. What's popping up for you this morning? We're still handling out the elements, but just as an indication, just the rows that have not received, just put your hand up so that the guys can just reorientate this. Just keep that hands up for a moment there. Right, this block here. Very good, there's help on the way. You guys in this block, anyone, are you guys still receiving? Oh, wow. We're 95% there. This is where we miss one or two. So just again, wave if you haven't received. Wow, that was fast. Okay. All right, thanks for sharing with someone. Thank you, Donovan. I want to shift the focus from sin and shortcomings for a moment, because it finds its place in a bigger and a greater context. And the question is rather this: what is the type of relationship you want with the Lord? What's the type of relationship you want with God? If you want a deep, open, heart-to-heart relationship, it includes that. It includes going to the challenger deep and exposing the vulnerabilities that we are often hesitant to expose. But I can tell you that with the Lord, with the Father, you're coming into a place of trust and a place of love. I was spending time with someone this weekend who shared about something in their life that they were struggling with to another friend they thought they could trust. And then that friend went to the person's family and told them everything that he shared in trust. And these are the kind of stories that causes us to be hesitant. Isn't that true? And it's happened to some of you. But when we go to the Father, there is trust. Amen? And so I want to ask you to pursue a deep, heart-to-heart and open relationship with the Lord, which will invite you to go past the horizon depth where you share your heart and what you aspire to, and do that also with the Lord, but then go 40 feet deeper. But Lord, here is my struggles. If I'm really honest, you know, because in that you are being repaired to look more and more like Jesus. With that in mind, let's partake of the body of Christ. You can eat your cracker. Jesus, as the piece of bread crumbles in our mouth and it goes into our bodies, we are reminded that there's a relationship with you where the oneness is of such that you are in us and we are in you. That is what we desire. And so before we take the juice this morning, I want to give you 20 seconds to just put before the Lord any sin you can be reminded of, and just say, Lord, I know I can trust you. And just before him, no human, just whisper and say, this thing, Lord, you know I struggle. Will you help me and repair me to look more like you? And then as we remember the gospel, we can know that there is forgiveness of sins. So let's drink the juice together. Amen. I want to lead you out of this building now for the next service, but I want to ask you if you would be so kind to send your cups to your right-hand side, to the lane on the right. And then it'll be easy to collect afterwards. The Lord bless you and keep you. And may you have a great cup of coffee before you leave. Amen.